Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church.
Did you know that nations like ours in America reap what we sow? You're listening to Dr. Rocky Ramsey's sermon, giving biblical insight to today's biggest issues. What does the Bible really say about climate change, protection, gender identity, and abortion?
If you know our founding history, the idea of the separation of church and state, which goes all the way back to John Locke in England, actually, was never intended to protect the government from church influence. It was intended to protect the church from government influence. The church should be the conscience of a nation. The government should not tell the church what to believe and do. The church should tell the government what to believe and do. So notice in your outline, Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Any nation who puts God first will be blessed. I put in your outline, nations, just like individuals, reap what they sow. They reap what they sow. If you remember when Israel went into the promised land, God promised them, if you'll obey me, you'll prosper. You'll never lend. You'll be the borrower. No nation can stand against you. But if you disobey me, you'll reap what you sow. And you will become the lender and or the borrower. And other nations will come in and take you off this land, which they did for thousands of years, actually. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, Moses has put together this thing. It's called the blessings and the curses. If you obey God, here's all the good things. If you disobey him, here's all the bad things. It kind of comes to the end, verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30. It says, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. Verse 19, choose life in order that you may live. Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We saw last week that God has always allowed choice, and there's always been consequences to those choices. This didn't start in the book of Galatians. It didn't even start in the Garden of Eden. It started in heaven, where a third of the angels made the choice not to be obedient to God. They were cast out, became demons, led by a man named Lucifer, an angel named Lucifer, that we know is Satan, the devil, and the evil one. So choices and consequences predates the creation of man. And then we saw choices and consequences in Eden. We see it every day in our lifetime. And we saw last week that we even had the consequences, the resulting of our choices in heaven. Those who lay up more treasure will reap more benefit in heaven. We talked that in talking about how God, capitalism, didn't begin with some democratic nation here on earth. Capitalism began in heaven with God. What I want to do today is talk to you about several social and political issues that are debated in our day. As you'll see, the eternal, all-knowing, all-wise God has an opinion on these matters, and he's expressed his will and his ways in his timeless, inerrant word, Scripture, the Bible. So I'll address four of these this morning. Social political issues addressed in Scripture. Now, some people may say, well, preachers ought to stay out of politics. Well, preachers ought to preach the Bible. As you'll see today, that's what I'm doing. Number one, the first social issue is climate change. Write this down somewhere. Climate changes. Every winter it gets cold. Every summer it gets hot. Some winters are colder than others. Some summers are hotter than others. In our day, scientists and activists are worried about the destruction of our planet because of what they call global warming, which they believe to be man-made by us using fossil fuels. So if it gets unusually hot or cold, global warming. I don't understand if they say, well, it's really hot. We had a record high. Well, maybe global warming. But this winter, if we have a record low, they'll say global warming. We have severe weather, it's global warming. Everything is global warming. It's supposed to be causing the oceans to rise and eventually, in short time, they say, start claiming our shoreline. Now, this is kind of interesting because there was a president by the name of Barack Obama who went out of office, who believes in climate change and bought a multi-million dollar property on the beach. Now, I'm not sure if that's just dishonest, hypocrisy, or both. But if he believed what he claimed, he would never have bought that property. If climate change is real, the value of it is guaranteed to go down if it doesn't get swallowed up by the ocean. Question that begs to be asked, does he really believe this? And I would tell you no. He wouldn't have bought that property. Because whatever else he is, he's not an idiot. As far as hurricanes and floods, we've recently seen the devastation of Helene, which we've been involved in. Asheville, among many other places, was flooded. What you might not know is Asheville had a similar flood in 1916. Way before global warming, way before climate change, and sure enough, it built more village underwater just like it did this time. Two hurricanes converged on Asheville, 1916. We've got a picture of it. There it is. That's Asheville. Now, was that global warming? Well, no, not 1916. Was that man-made climate change? Well, of course it was, and it was 1916. What happens is climate changes. What do you suppose induced those hurricanes? Another problem is supposed to be the amount of CO2 in the air. One article, I love to read science articles in the paper. Don't read the comics, read the science articles. So this article claimed that the greatest level of carbon monoxide in our atmosphere was 500 million years ago, which begs a couple of questions to be asked. The first one is, how do they know that? And the answer to that question is, they don't. But they're scientists, so they can say whatever they want to say, and it's supposed to be a fact, and you're supposed to treat it like it's a fact. I don't know what it was to 500 million years ago. And then the next question is, if you believe that they're right about it, what caused it? I guess they'd say dinosaur flatulence. I don't know. It wasn't man-made, right? Also, if you research, you'll discover that the most severe heat waves the U.S. has ever had were in the 1930s, not in recent years. And this is one of the most interesting things I learned as I studied up on this. The first Earth Day took place April 22nd, 1970. And all these environmentalists got together. And they all pronounced doom days on the planet. Are you ready for this? Because of global cooling. Go research it. Almost everyone there wrote articles giving end dates. We're done. Society will be over at this time because of global cooling. The Earth had been cooling for years, and now it happens to be warming some. Maybe it will cool again. Maybe the warming trend will end just like the cooling trend ended. Did you know that the biggest flood we've had in Knoxville was 1867? Obviously not caused by fossil fuels. And then the other bad one we had was 1957. But this was during the time that the scientists had been measuring how the Earth was cooling. I remember that when I had a messy diaper that day. 1957. Once upon a time, listen closely. Once upon a time, science was the questioning of theories. Now it's the declaration of theories, which you'd better not question. I'll say that again. Once upon a time, science was the questioning of theories. They came up with theories. And everybody tested the theories to see if they're right. Now it's not the testing of theories, it's the declaration of theories, and you dare not contradict the theory. You better go along with what they're saying. And that's really, really sad. As with COVID, once certain people decide on a conclusion, everybody had better get on board. If you're a medical doctor or scientist and you don't, you will be punished. Doctors were threatened with losing their jobs. Scientists would just, if they disagreed with what Fauci was saying, they would never get grants again. They likely would lose their teaching position. They'd be severely punished unless they go along with what's been said by somebody who has power. With COVID, as with climate change, there were thousands of dissenters. Thousands who don't agree with the stuff you see declared as fact every day, most of them dare not say anything because it'd cost them. It's too big a price to pay. So they just shut up and go along. People have done that for a long time. Now, I've got two things under that. Number one, man is to care for God's creation. Man is to care for God's creation. God made man to rule over creation, Genesis 1:26, and to manage creation. In Genesis 2:15, he was told to cultivate and keep what God had created. Surely nobody on the planet is against cleaner air, water, or energy. But there's huge disagreement about whether or not climate change is man-made, and even if it is, what do you do about it? Listen closely. No one can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that changes in weather are caused by fossil fuel use. You can't prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Correlation does not prove causation. And no one can prove that the use of cleaner energy will eradicate severe weather. If we all went electric and there were no more fossil fuels, does that mean we'd never have another hurricane or flood or tornado? Can anybody guarantee that? Well, of course they can't. Like with COVID, they're just guessing. They don't know what to do with it, and they're guessing. And all of their guessings are supposed to be treated as scientific facts. Am I in the right room? If I'm not, you haven't been reading up much on this. What we do know, that is that if everything went electric, we'd have a huge energy crisis. It's so funny. I told you last week, over in North Carolina, FEMA sent pallets of electric chainsaws. The problem is nobody had electricity. If you remember the last brownout they had out in California, the Governor Newsom had to tell people not to drive their electric cars. Do you want one of those that you can't drive? We're low on electricity, so you're going to have to walk or catch a bus. What do you do with the batteries? Let's say we're going to completely supply energy for New York City with batteries, electric generated batteries. How big are those batteries going to have to be? Size of Knoxville? And who knows what happens to a battery after it's used and no longer good? Does anybody know what it's called? It's called toxic waste. You're not supposed to throw a battery in the garbage. You're supposed to take it to a certain place. It's toxic waste. So what are you going to do if everything goes electric? What are you going to do with all those batteries? You're going to have mountains and mountains of toxic waste. Now, nobody talks about that. Why? Because it gives their solutions real problems. Real problems. Now, here's the second thing. So man is to care for creation. But number two, creation is cursed because of sin. Creation is cursed because of sin. Maybe severe weather and changes in temperature have nothing to do with fossil fuels, but are simply the result of the curse. In Genesis 3:7 and verse 24, it tells us that the ground was cursed and that paradise ended because of man's sin. In Colossians 1:17, there's an interesting verse. You think, what in the world does this verse mean? It says that in Jesus, all things hold together. Isn't that interesting? Like in cells, you got protons, neutrons, electrons, and morons. You know, how do they all stay together? All things hold together in Jesus. Now, if you don't know this, the universe is expanding. Science can measure this. It's how they came up with the big theory, big boom assumption. That out in the middle of nowhere was nothing, and something exploded, and everything resulted from it, and it's all expanding. Maybe it's all expanding. Maybe everything's coming apart because of the curse. And maybe that's what this is about. If you read Matthew 24:6-14, Jesus talks about end times conditions, which do include severe weather and abnormalities. Listen closely. Science can measure what is. It cannot measure all the time, cannot discover all the time why it is. They can say it's warming, but they can't prove why it is. I never read anything that said they knew why it was cooling. It just was. So you can measure what is, but you can't necessarily determine why it is. As with evolution, they come up with unproven, unprovable theories, and then they speak of it as if it's fact. Correlation does not prove causation. So, for example, did you know, this is a fact, that ice cream sales go up and down and like a bell curve exactly like shark attacks? It's a fact. You can look it up. Does this prove that sharks attack more because people eat more ice cream? Well, the answer, of course, is no. So why is there this correlation? It's not causation. Why is there correlation? Because in the summer, people eat more ice cream. In the summer, people swim in the oceans. When people swim in the oceans, you have more shark attacks than when people don't. Duh. Correlation is not causation. So they can say, we're using a lot of fossil fuels and it's warming. We're using a lot of fossil fuels and we have severe weather. It doesn't mean that one caused the other. So there's climate change. The second thing that I want to talk about is protection. Protection. We've seen mayors and governors do almost nothing while crime exploded in their major cities. They allowed historic statues and national monuments to be destroyed. Whose lives have been made better than that? Is anybody's life in America better because Robert E. Lee's statue was taken down or relocated? Answer? No, not at all. Not at all. Parts of cities were burned down. Stores continued to be gang looted. And one weekend in Chicago, 106 people were shot. And another weekend, 24 were killed. People pay taxes for protection. It's the government's primary job. And people aren't getting that protection. Under that, number one, the government's role is to protect people. It's their role to protect people. Look at Romans 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. That could be questioned in our time. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. Underline the words, bear the sword. For as a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Lawbreakers are supposed to fear the government. When crooks don't fear cops, citizens fear crooks. Notice what the government is, that the government is to bear the sword, not the whip. Whips are used to correct bad behavior. The sword is used to remove bad behaving people. Your argument for capital punishment. The government is to be an avenger who brings wrath upon those who practice evil. Look at Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because a sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. In other words, the more people get away with, the more they do when it comes to crime. Jot down Deuteronomy 21:18-23. And 13:6-11. Both of these sections talk about harsh punishment for sin, people hearing about it, and therefore having a fear of doing what is wrong. I'm not going to do the wrong thing. Bad things happen to people who do the wrong thing. Do you think when we had mobs burning our cities and taking these statues down, any of them were worried about repercussions? No, not at all. There are liberals in our universities at various levels of government and in the highest financial brackets who think that bad people will become good people if you'll just be nice to them. They want to reimagine policing, defund the police. Both have been total, absolute failures. They want to close jails and prisons. They think that you won't need them if you'll just rehab all the criminals. Within 3 years after their release, 68% of convicts have been rearrested. In 5 years, that number goes to 77%. Listen closely. You ought to write this down somewhere. You can't make bad people good. You can't make bad people good. All you can do is correct and punish the bad. Over the last several years, we've seen cops treated as the bad guys and lawbreakers as the good guys. A convicted felon full of drugs died while resisting arrest, was made a hero, and now has his own statue in Minnesota. I've got to wonder what they would think about it if some people went in there and defaced it or destroyed it. Wouldn't it be hypocritical of them to criticize it? Yes, it would. Now you're looking at me saying, that man's either got a lot of courage or he's an idiot. I'm going with the second. He's an idiot. If you recall, in that same town, a police station was abandoned to a mob who set it on fire. The police were ordered to run from the mob, not stop it. Their job is protection. And they were told to run from the mob. You think you're safe? The way those mobs were allowed to congregate outside conservative Supreme Court justices' homes? They shouldn't be able to get within a mile of their homes. But no, they were allowed to. Why? Because of the current power. So much for protection, huh? Look, what's God think about this? Look at Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe is a word of judgment. Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. I don't remember the name of it, but there was a documentary done on Chauvin, the guy that's still in prison for the Minnesota thing. If you'll go watch that, it's the most pitiful thing you've ever seen is you see these policemen who now have quit crying their eyes out because their police chief lied and because those in power changed the books to make it look like they never told Chauvin to hold him down with that hold, which was in their training manual. And there are copies of that training manual available, but they went and took it off everything. They lied. They threw him under the bus. And sadly, the Supreme Court didn't do anything about it. They had the chance to deal with it, and they passed on it. I guess they didn't want the country to be on fire again. But that's sad. That's mob rule. When the court systems and the police bow down to the bad behavior of mobs, we're not in a good place, are we? Now, here's the second thing under that. Individuals have the right to protect their property and themselves. They have the right to protect their property and themselves. Exodus 22:2. If the thief is caught while breaking in and struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. We not only have a biblical right to protect ourselves, we have a biblical responsibility to protect what is ours, our property. The political left defund the police policies have been a disaster. And as I've said, even Seattle now is backpedaling on that. So here's what that verse says. That verse says, if somebody comes in your yard to kill you and you shoot them in the yard, drag them in the house. And then you'll be biblical. Many on the left want to confiscate our guns. These words came out of Kamala Harris's mouth. We will come to your house and get your guns. Several years ago. When somebody says something, the first thing they say is what they mean. Everything after that's damage control. She sees people flip-flopping, changing their mind. All they're doing now, all politicians want to do is get votes. The truth is, Thomas Sowell said, in politics, facts don't matter, just votes. That's really true. So they want to confiscate your guns. Who on earth thinks that bad people are going to surrender their guns to the government? Really? Are we that stupid? So you take the guns away from all the good guys. By the way, the Second Amendment wasn't primarily written so that you could protect yourself against bad people. It was written so you could protect yourself against, you know who? The government. That's why you were given a right to bear arms. Because if not, you're helpless. Listen closely. I'll say this twice. In relationships in life, when we want something to be a certain way, we become blind to all the red flags that warn us that it will not be that way. When we want something to be a certain way, I want this to be true. I want this to happen. We become blind to all the red flags that warn us that it will not happen, that it is not true. So a girl's dating a guy, and he's a bad guy. But she's got this idea of getting married, and maybe he'll make good pictures, and she thinks he'll make pretty children. And so she stays in a bad relationship, ignoring all the red flags. Why? Because she's committed to a certain outcome, which is getting married, in this case, marrying that guy. She's unable to see the truth. Everybody else sees the truth, but not her. Probably a lot of you know one of those, somebody who's been done just that thing. Now, here's the third thing as we talk about protection. People are responsible for what they damage. They're responsible for what they damage. Exodus 21, 28, and 29. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. However, if an ox was previously in the habit of goring and its owner had been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. In the first case, you got a wild animal being a wild animal. They're to be put down, as we say now. In the second case, you got an owner who's done nothing about his wild animal, who now kills someone, and he's also to be put down. People are responsible for what they damage. Biblically, you're responsible for your actions. If you take it, you replace it. If you break it, you fix it. If you destroy it, you rebuild it. That is real social justice. That's social justice. Now, here's the third thing. The third issue, social issue that Scripture addresses is LGBTQ and now plus. For anyone who doesn't know what that stands for, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, the plus has been added to add any other gender anybody might come up with. I asked Siri several years ago on my phone, I guess it gives the same answer today. I said, how many genders are there? Quote, there are as many genders as there are people. Wow, I did not know that. What's that, 8 billion genders? Wow. We're told now by supposed experts, scientists, that women can be men, men can be women, and men who think they're women can bear children. Silly me, I thought that required a uterus. Apparently not. This example of liberals seeking to gaslight Americans. If you read the book 1984, what they did, they turned everything upside down. And so you had no idea what to believe to be true anymore. Sound familiar? It's exactly where we are. And in the current America, driven by the left, the further you are from being a cisgender male, which means you've considered yourself male from birth, or a cisgender female, the more civil rights you have. Silly me. Again, the Bible says God made them male and female. You believe in science? Look at anatomy. Anatomy puts people in two categories, male and female. Remember our president, current president, during COVID saying, follow the science, man. The left follows the science when it suits their agenda and ignores it when it doesn't. They ignore it when it doesn't. And this is a classic example of that. America has now glorified what God condemns. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If there's a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed detestable act, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Wow. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither, he gives a list of people, homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen closely. Being LGBTQ plus doesn't make somebody a horrible person. They could be one of the nicest people you know. But it does make them wrong. It does make them sinners. And biblically, it does make them lost. It just does. Read your Bible. You know, gosh, I'm sick unto death of this. Most of the Christianity we have in America is we have this idea of Christianity, which usually means Jesus is this wonderful guy who doesn't really care if you sin that much because he died for your sins. And he'll forgive you. Don't worry about it. And you know, there's no preaching of repentance, no preaching on hell, no preaching on judgment. We've preached this idea of Christianity that really isn't Christianity at all. We use bits of the Bible, but we're not really preaching the full counsel of God, as Paul called it. And I'm just sick unto death of it. There's no salvation without repentance. Any gospel that doesn't tell a man he's got to repent isn't a biblical gospel. It's another gospel, as it's called in Galatians. It's another gospel. Wow. Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor a man put on women's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. If a person thought that he was born wrong and did not think that he should have arms and wanted to have his arms amputated, would you not think that he was mentally ill? You think, you can't let this guy do that. He's mentally ill. If a man thinks he's a woman, or a woman thinks she's a man, that used to be considered mentally ill. But now it's sound thinking. Now it's glorified. You know, when this whole gender thing's exploded among kids, you know why? Because kids are copycats. And even people who study this would tell you there is no way that the number of people claiming to be transgender is legitimate. It's a bunch of people getting on a bandwagon, acting a certain way to get attention or fit in with some group. That's what it is. And so they get on these bandwagons to do that. And it's glorified. Nobody except the church is telling them they're not this, telling this boy, he's not a girl. All we're doing in society is rushing him to hormone treatment and surgeries. And in some states, if you deny your child that, they'll get you for child abuse. You do know that, don't you? How many of you have moved from California? A bunch of you have. They're the smart people in the room, okay? They may have a higher intelligence than the rest of us get out of there. In our modern world, that person's treated as if they're mentally sound. If they want to have surgery to remove or add body parts, it's their right. In the state of Minnesota, which our current vice president, running for vice president for the Democratic Convention, is the governor. If a child crosses the state line, they will take the authority away from the parent in the other state and give that child transgender surgery. Look it up. Look it up. Is that what we want our country to be? I'm going to talk about it right here in a second. Probably a good time to jump right in. A lot of people are confused about a lot of things, especially young people. Now, I need all you adults to be honest right now. Young people, I need you to look around. How many of you adults, when you were young, thought you were smart? Come on. How many of you later out figured out you were an idiot? Pay attention. If you were half as smart as you think you are, you'd be twice as smart as you really are. You think you know what you want. You don't have any clue what you want yet. There's two sides of your brain. They're not connected till you're into the 20s. So it's safe to say you're brain damaged, okay? I'm not putting you down. We've all been there. I might have been the biggest idiot of all. And I thought I knew everything. I had all the answers. I didn't know what the questions were. Right? And so we're going to let that kid who's unpopular, who doesn't fit in, who wants to have his body to be mutilated, we're going to let some doctor do that to him and deny the parents' right to refuse it? If we continue in the direction we're going as a country, as they used to say in on Laugh-In, you bet your sweet bippy. I don't know what a bippy is. I hope it's not a bad thing. You bet your sweet bippy that's what we're going to do. The phrase is probably used before. I first heard it out of the mouth of Hillary Clinton. Remember, she used to say this, it takes a village. How many of you remember that? It takes a village. The village is this world. It's our secular, ungodly culture. That's the village. They want to take your kids from you. So it's none of your business what books are in their library. It's none of your business what they teach your kids at school and what's available on the internet. And you're a parent, your opinion as a parent doesn't matter if your minor child is gender confused. That's the village. In George Orwell's prophetic book, 1984, the children had all been brainwashed to give their loyalty to the government. Hitler did the same thing. He took the teenagers and began to program them. And then they got older, they belonged to the Nazis. They would even turn their own parents in, which is what happens in 1984. The current village is the enemy of God and families. The current village is the enemy of God and families. During Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court proceedings, Barrett respectfully used the term sexual preference in one of the questions. Mazie Hirono, U.S. Senator from Hawaii, condemned her for the offensive term sexual preference. Hirono said that it was sexual orientation. It wasn't a preference. It was the way they were born. Now, here's the kicker. Within the day, Merriam-Webster's dictionary changed the definition. Within the day. And now, then it said that anyone who used the term sexual preference should not, because it's offensive. They need to say sexual orientation. That's how quickly the village works. If everyone was free to do as he felt like doing, wouldn't we live in total chaos? She got people who want to molest children. Are they supposed to do that or restrain themselves? And if they don't, we restrain them. You got men who want to abuse women. Do they get to do that because it's what they feel like doing? They could say, God must have made me this way because it's what I want to do. No, they've got to restrain themselves. Everybody's got to restrain themselves, including Christians. Our wrong desires. Now, before I move on, you need to know that according to Revelation 21:8, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, Ephesians 5:5, Galatians 5:19-21, immoral straight people have no more chance of getting to heaven than an LGBTQ plus person. And that is none. Read your Bible. None. Jesus said in 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So you got a lot of straight people living immoral lives who think they're superior to LGBTQ plus people. No, you're both sinners and you're both headed to hell if you don't repent. You may be thinking, I'm going to find me another church. I'd say you should if you didn't like what I just said. Because you're not looking for a place to preach as the Bible. You're looking for imaginary God who, and some preacher who reimagines the Bible to make you feel good when you come to church. The current secular, doctrinal, sacred trinity of the left, the world, the village, is climate change, gender fluidity, and then here's the most sacred cow of all, number four, abortion. Abortion. Since the Roe v. Wade court ruling in 1973, nearly 70 million unborn children have been legally aborted in the United States. To give this number some perspective, the most populated state in the country, California, has less than 40 million people in it. The total number of Americans who died in all U.S. wars, including the Civil War, is less than 1.2 million. Those who support aborting the unborn see unborn children as only blobs of cells, even though they look just like babies, even though they respond to pain and poking, even though they have brain waves and heartbeat. Initially, you could only have abortion early on in pregnancy. Eventually, unborn children were born, have been aborted up to the point of death. Some of them given birth live and left to die. People who worked in abortion clinics have written about this. Imagine. This child is born. They tried to abort him before he was born. He didn't die. He's now laying there alive. I thought doctors were supposed to save people. And they sit and watch the baby die. You thought the Nazis were bad? People who had no care at all for humanity? Thankfully, some people were so offended by that, they've written about it. It was supposedly the mother's right. Isn't that interesting? They say it's a woman's right issue. She has right to decide what to do with her body. Her body, her decision. That's not what they said in COVID, was it? In COVID, they said your body is a village's decision. Hillary Clinton actually said that the unborn have no rights. Abortion allows sinners to cover their sin and selfless people not to be bothered with a child while it terminates the innocent unborn child who has no choice. What's the Bible say on the subject? Is abortion promoted, permitted, condemned? Jesus referred to the least of these. Wouldn't the unborn be the very least of the least? People in social justice think, I want to give a voice to those who have no voice. The unborn child, more than anybody, 100 times more than anybody, has no voice. The first thing we learn from the Bible, number one, is that life begins at conception. It begins at conception. Jeremiah 1:5, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, underline the word before, I knew you. And before you were born, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. The Bible teaches that you began as a dream in God's heart. He knew you before he made you. So explain that. I don't know how to explain that. I just know the Bible says it. So it's true. You weren't just a biological result of something your parents did. You were a person before the womb. And if you're a person before the womb, then surely you're a person in the womb. Right? You're not just a blob of cells. The next thing the Bible teaches, number two, is that abortion is taking the life of an unborn person. It's taking the life of an unborn person. Look at Exodus 20, verse 13. There it says, you shall not murder. The Bible does not prohibit killing. It endorses killing animals to eat. It endorses killing someone who might try to kill you. We just read a verse on that a minute ago. But what it does not endorse is murder. Look at Exodus 21, verse 22. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there's no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. So two men are fighting. In the course of that, one of them hits this pregnant woman in the belly. She gives birth to this live child. He gets fined. Why? Because the baby is okay. Verse 23, but if there's any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. This goes on to say, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. You wonder where that came from? It's this passage right here. So if this man who hits this woman, kills this unborn child he's carrying, he's committed murder and is worthy of execution. A person exists before he or she is conceived in a womb. He doesn't become a person at birth. He becomes a person before conception. Abortion is murder. An unborn child is not a potential human. An unborn child is a human with potential. I'll say that again. An unborn child is not a potential human. It's a human with potential. Now, it would be foolish of me not to think that somebody in this audience has not had an abortion. It'd be foolish of me not to think that somebody in this audience hadn't been party to one, helped someone get one, their girlfriend, their child, I don't know who else. As much as I love you, as much as God loves you, it doesn't change what that was. It doesn't change what that was. See, we live in a day, we think if I love somebody, it changes what they did. No, it doesn't. Right is right no matter who does it, and wrong is wrong no matter who does it. Listen real closely to what I'm about to say. This is for you. The Bible teaches that Jesus died for your sin. He died for that sin. The Bible teaches that God's grace is greater than our sin. It's greater than that sin. What you did was a terrible thing. But there's this incredible God who is so full of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness that he'll forgive you. As he does with all sins, Jesus longs to forgive us. He doesn't want to judge us. If you haven't, you need to confess your sin and ask God to forgive you. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. Three things. Write these things down, even if you're not one of these people. Write these things down. This is what you do with sin. Admit it, grieve it, leave it. Admit it. What I did was a horrible thing. Grieve it. Cry your eyes out. Mourn. Whatever you need to do. And then leave it. God will forgive you. And once he's forgiven you, who are you not to forgive yourself and let it go and go on? Don't allow Satan to drown you in the guilt of what you did. Instead, immerse yourself in the ocean of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness of an incredible God who still loves you, who still wants you, and who still wants to bless you. Now, that ought to make a backslidden Episcopalian shout, Bill Stafford would say. If you just heard what I said and you're not a church person, you've got to be thinking, what kind of God is that? I'm telling you, that's an awesome God. That you can do something so wrong, and he longs to forgive you. By his nature, if he can't forgive you, if you don't repent, he's got to judge you. But he longs to forgive you. And he will forgive you. And then he'll bless you, no matter what horrible thing you might have done. In this year's election, you need to remember a few things. One, Christians should vote. We're to be the salt of the earth. Salt delays decay. And if we don't vote biblical convictions, our nation continues to decay. It's estimated as many as 32 million people who call themselves Christians might not vote in this election. That might be enough votes to get four more years of the current village. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, he's not a part of the village, and he has the guts to stand against it. He may be the only president we've ever had with that kind of guts. Maybe Ronald Reagan, I don't know, he didn't have to. But he's got guts standing against it. You're saying, but I don't like Donald Trump. Get in line. I think he's an obnoxious, immature narcissist. Get in line. You're not voting for a personality. Whatever you think, he will fight the village. And if somebody doesn't fight the village, I can't preach like this in the future. And whoever comes behind me, if they try to do it, they'll be in jail. Count on it. You guys who have some age on you, who would have believed our world would have changed as much as it has since the year 2000, our country? If somebody preached a message, said this is what's going to happen, especially over the last 6 years, this is what's going to happen, nobody believed them. And yet here we are. As Christians, we may never get to vote for a candidate that we really love. Most of what we have to do is vote against the candidate we dislike the most. Remember, you're voting for a president. You're not voting for a pastor. And you ought to be voting based on the policies of the candidate that best align with our biblical beliefs, not on the personality of the candidates. You should be voting for your hope, or what you hope America is going to be in the next 4 years and beyond. And if it doesn't turn around, We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Last thing, two things. Evil always prevails because good men do nothing. Evil prevails because good men do nothing. This is true in churches. It's true in civilizations. Should evil prevail, make sure that it doesn't because of you.
America is reaping what it's sown for many years, but Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." Most of you are probably on YouTube, the world's largest video platform. Well, so are we. So look for Coryton Church and Dr. Rocky Ramsey on YouTube, where we share all of our sermon content, music, commercials for events, and more. We also live stream every Sunday and Wednesday to YouTube. Subscribe for free today to Coryton Church on YouTube, and we'll see you next time.